Hi, and welcome to another edition of Ian Wallace, the Messed Up Counsellor. Today what I'm going to talk about is relationships, and relationships, why they break down, why things don't work. Also going to look at ways of helping you rebuild relationships, maybe, and give you tools in order to do that. So it's going to be kind of like a process of how it doesn't work, working, enabling it to work, and giving you the understanding what that new relationship might look like. So hopefully that'll be interesting to you. If you do like the podcasts, please like and share them, because it helps other people to get to understand what I'm doing. And you never know whether or not people you like and share will be going through some of the issues that I talk about. So that would be helpful for them, because they don't need to click into it if they don't want it. But if they've got an option, then maybe they will. And maybe you will help them by just giving them this information. So please like and share. Thanks very much.
Yep, and we'll just keep it rolling from that.
Okay, so Sam.
Just do like a quick clap into the microphone, and then it shows peak. Perfect.
Okay. So, hi, welcome to Ian Wallace, the Messed Up Counsellor. So we're going to look at creating relationships and how relationships don't work today. Relationships have structure. They have things that we need from another person. Now, that might be a relationship at work. It might be a relationship with friends. It might be a relationship with loved ones, family. It might be partners, husbands, wives, relationships. Relationships, humans want to connect, generally speaking. Most human beings want to connect. And we want to connect with another person that gives us something. They give us ideas, they give us skills, abilities, they give us a lending ear. Whatever it is that we connect with those people, we're connecting for a reason. And when we connect, we build something. Now that might not be an intimate relationship, that might just be a friendship, that might just be a work colleague. It might just be somebody working on part of a process in a job and you do the next part of the process. But there'll be an interconnection, there'll be some crossover. There'll be something that they give you in order for you to do the next bit. So if you think of it in those kind of ways, that relationships are about getting something from somebody, whatever that might be, in order or to enable us to have a better life, a better relationship, a better workflow, whatever that might be. Generally speaking, relationships break down because there is a lack of communication. There's a lack of understanding. In my world, as a counselling world, I see couples, I see families and individuals. So I'm used to working with two people's ideas or three people's ideas or more of how something does or does not work. And they only come to me really when something isn't working. So I get it when it's not working. And my job is to understand it, understand why it's not working, and put in place some process, some tools to enable it to work better, basically. So relationships break down because of a lack of communication, or a lack of communication that the other person understands. So we say things all the time, and we don't necessarily think about what we're saying all the time. And so we create conversations, words, discussions. And if people are not able to fully understand what we're talking about, or they see it in a different way, then that could create a problem of communication. So if you take an example, and I like examples. So you take an example that one person is texting another person about something much more than just, I'm going to be home at 6 p.m. Texting doesn't share feelings and emotions well. It's very hard to explore feelings and emotions in texts and emails. If we're talking, if we're listening, if we're seeing another person, we get a lot more communication by those processes than we do by just words on a blank sheet. Because we're picking up on the difference in voice, we're picking up on the body language, we're picking up on those small signs, insignificant signs for most people, to understand what it is that kind of goes with those words. So we can say something, we can say, hello, how are you? You're hearing that, you're seeing that if you're watching this. So you're taking up a lot more information than just hello, how are you? The words are there, as I've said, but also you're taking up my expressions, my face, my body language, my processes, the nuances in my voice, the way the voice is constructed. All those things are coming into that piece of information. So if I said in a text, hello, how are you? You won't get any of that. You would just get the words. Now, you don't know if I'm considerate, if I'm worried, if I'm concerned. You don't know whether it's just a passing greeting. You've got no idea about all those other things that you get as a communication. So people's voices, people's faces, and their kind of body language tell us an awful lot more than the words. There's a thing called Chinese whispers. I don't know if you've ever done it as kids. And one person at the front end of a queue of 20 kids will say one thing, one small sentence. And by the time it gets to the end of the 20th person, it's nothing like what it was when it first started. And that interpretation is what we do all the time without even realising. We interpret things. We put in place other ways of understanding things based on what we're feeling, where we are at that present moment in time. So when our communication breaks down, it's usually because of a misunderstanding. So if you're on a boat and you're talking to another boat or somebody on shore, they will always repeat what's been said. Now, they do that for a reason. A is they don't misunderstand what's been said. Both people are aware what's been said then, and they then can use that. But we don't do that as human beings in language, in our communication. So our relationships break down because of a miscommunication. We infer something, we have a perception of something that is not necessarily true, but then we act on that inferred process or that perception, and we relay that back to the person or not. So if we think somebody's upset us, then we generally will say, you've upset me, but we might not. We might take it, we might internalize it, and then that will be part of the next connection we have with them. So relationships break down purely and simply from a misunderstanding of communication. People do things all the time, but they don't necessarily think about what they're doing. So if you were getting a gift or a present from somebody, and you said to them, oh, don't worry about me, it's okay, give it to so-and-so because they need it more. That's done for possibly the right motivation, because this other person does need it more. But for the person that's offering you that gift, you're basically disrespecting them. They've taken their time, their energy, their trouble to give you that, and you're disrespecting that. Now, the person who gave you the gift might take offence at that. They might not say anything at the moment. They might give it to this other person. But they may infer that you don't want them in your world, in your life, you don't like them, you're not interested in what they were giving you, you're rebuffing it, you're disrespecting it. And that's just because there's a misunderstanding. And that misunderstanding will grow, and generally speaking, will get less and less connection. And you'll get more and more frustrated or resentful or whatever it is. And then eventually you will give that person a present anymore if they keep doing that. Give it to so-and-so. It's okay, don't worry about me. That will break down that relationship. It might still be functional, You might still connect, but you won't connect in the same depth you used to. And eventually, they may find somebody else to have that conversation with who will accept what they're giving them. And we do that without even realizing. And we don't do it because we're bad people. We don't do it because we don't like this person that's given us this gift. The motivation is not wrong. Somebody needs it more than me. But the misunderstanding is what will break that relationship down. Now, in couple work, where we're trying to build kind of emotionally interactive relationships, of caring, of being there for people, then what we do is we find that there's a pretty much a very similar way of those relationships breaking down. It will be over a period of time. It won't necessarily be a big event. It might be, but it won't necessarily be. It could just be a drip-drip effect of breaking down. So, in my world, couples, as a couple, need to spend time together as a couple. Most couples don't do that. Most couples then have commitments. They have children, pets, other family members, whatever, work, hobbies. And they then spend less and less time as a couple and more time in those other places. And there's a lot of pressure nowadays. And so there's always somebody who wants a piece of you, in a sense. So the couple relationship stops actually connecting as a couple. They might still be great parents, great friends. They might still respond to groups and things when they go out and families. But the couple bit which got them together in the first place will have been lost. Because when we first get with somebody as a relationship, we find common interests, common ideas, common ethical standings, whatever it is. There's something that we have in common that we can talk about or share. And they have aspects of the world that we like. You know, they may be an extrovert and we may be an introvert. So the extrovert's interesting because it's different. And people get together with people because they're different. So that process of getting together means that we will forge a more committed relationship, maybe a more emotionally attached relationship, a more physical, sexual relationship. When they stop being a couple because of all these other commitments and responsibilities and roles, that bit that they first got together because of gets lost. And then the relationship, as I've said, becomes functional still works. Everybody still gets fed, everything still happens. But the emotional process will have broken down. And eventually, usually, the physical relationship, the sexual relationship, the intimacy will break down. And then people relate it to me like, you know, brother and sister in the same house, you know, flat sharing with a friend. So that process of breaking that down over a period of time doesn't have to start with a big thing that happens, like an affair or a passing or a trust issue. It can happen as a drip-drip effect. And most couples, when they get to me, or anybody like me, we're kind of the last ditch attempt. They've tried everything and they've come to a counsellor. And they believe that, you know, we are, if it doesn't work here, it will work. And if it's not here, it's ended, it's finished. We're walking away from each other, usually. So the process that we engage with as counsellors is trying to understand what happened, what broke that down, what process we engaged with that couple in order to stop being a couple relationship. And then we kind of get them to understand that by exploring it. We get to see that there's a different communication process happening, more perception than reality. And we then put in place communication tools in order to help them to reconnect that process, if they so wish, obviously. So how I do that, and people have different ways of doing it. My way is not the only way on the planet. But I've honed my ways over the last 18, 20 years, and they work. So I would assess that they will work, unless people don't use them or they disrespect them, quite naturally. So we have engaged in a process of contract whereby the couple are asked, not told, asked if they would like to reconnect this communication process, and most generally speaking want to try. So we then say, okay, though, we need to find space and time to do that. Most couples will say to me, we have no time. We have no time to do that. We've got to do this, and we've got to do that, and we've got to do the other. And in a respectful way, I'll tell them that they're not telling me the truth. And they'll look shocked. We're not lying. They say, well, you are unfortunately lying that you don't have time to spend as a couple. Well, we don't. Well, you do. And they'll say, what are you on about? I'll say, well, the very nature you sat in front of me for an hour or so, the very nature you've got to get here, if they're coming to the office, or they've got to get home, means that you're going to be at least an hour to an hour and a half, or more, depending on your traffic and the way home and how far you've come. And you're in here being a couple for an hour. So, you're not telling me the truth. And that gets them to reflect that if they need to find the time, they can. Somebody is looking after their children if they've got kids. The world hasn't stopped because they're in this office or engaging with me at home on Zoom. So they are not telling me the truth. And then what we have to do is we have to say, okay, you're in here because presumably you think this place is going to help you. You're committed to this process by being sat in this room. And they'll say yes, usually. And so, okay, so we need to find space and time at home where you don't have those commitments, or somewhere else, coffee shop, in the car, wherever, that you don't have those commitments and responsibilities where you can be a couple, just the two of you. And I give them this tool which helps them to engage with this process. And it feels a bit weird at first, a bit kind of awkward for most people. But once you get into it, it kind of works. So you've got to give it at least two or three times to get it going. So what I say to them is, okay, you need to find about 40 minutes, which is less than you've spent coming here, less than you spent on the line with me or on Zoom, and 40 minutes a week. And you need to plan that into your week's routine, because you planned this appointment in with me. You didn't just walk through the door. So you both need to find that space and time every week, 40 minutes. And no matter when it is, it can be a different time every week, don't have to be the same time, but it's when there's no responsibilities, no commitments, nobody you're looking after, nothing you've got to do, phones off, laptops off, televisions off, everything's off, some background music, soft stuff if you want, but nothing you need to listen to. And you find that 40 minutes. And then I say to them, right, okay, get an egg timer, an old-fashioned one with sand, about 2 or 3 minutes. And flick a coin, see who goes first, it doesn't really matter. And then whoever gets the first go, it's their 2 or 3 minutes of time to talk. But you have to talk about yourself. You have to talk about yourself. It doesn't matter what it is, it can be anything you want it to be, but it has to be about you, not about anybody else. So if it's work, it's you and work. If it's life, it's you and life. If it's, I don't know, politics, it's you and politics. Whatever it is, it's about you. And the other person who is sat there just actively listens. They don't interrupt, don't interject, don't have questions, just listens. Then after the 2 or 3 minutes, that time is up with the egg timer, you swap sides. The talker becomes listener, listener becomes talker. And the new talker talks about anything they want to talk about, but again, it has to be about themselves. Now, that's a bit weird to start with. As I say, we don't normally talk about ourselves. We normally talk about everybody else apart from us, to be fair. So it gets them to start focusing in on each other. It gets them to understand each other, learn about each other now, because they will be different to what they were 6 months ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. What they're passionate about, what they enjoy, what they don't like, everything about them. And that process helps to start building that bond. Because what that tool does is it takes you right the way back to the beginning of a relationship. Because that's what they would have done when they first met. Who are you? What do you do? Oh, what do you think about that? What do you feel about that? And that process builds a communication structure and builds a process going forward. And we do that with families. We do that with couples. We do that with any interaction, intergenerational reaction, you know, grandfathers with grandsons and granddaughters or whoever. Because that process communication gets people to understand each other. And it helps them to explore who they are, how they feel, how they think, what they like, what they don't like. And that builds that emotional bonding process. So that process helps to build communication. And then it builds a relationship. And if they're a couple, it builds an intimacy. And it then builds a physical relationship. Because everything starts and is a communication process. Whether it's intimacy, just some holding somebody's hand is communication. Whether it's a physical sexual relationship, it is communication. You're communicating with that person. So the better we can make the communication, the more we can sort things out, understand things, bring conclusion to things. Most of us assume and presume for all sorts of reasons. But that is us thinking about our world and how we see it. It's not about anybody else's world. A lot of people will say to me, well, they should know what I think, and they should know I love them, and they should know I like them. Shoulds and coulds and woulds are not reality. They're possibilities. People generally do not mind read. No matter how well you know somebody, you will generally not know exactly what it is they're thinking about, they're talking about, they're sharing. You can only know that by asking them and them being honest with you as a reply. And then you reflecting on what they've said and give that process back. Is this kind of what you were saying? So when we break down relationships, we break them down because we misunderstand, we don't get what that person is doing or talking about. And then we assume and presume, and then we act on that presumption. As the old thing, I don't know if anybody's ever seen it, the person struggling at one side of the road of a pedestrian crossing, and somebody comes up, right motivation, I want to help, I want to make this person okay. So they take that person across the pedestrian crossing to the other side without asking, without communicating. And they get to the other side, and the person says, what are you doing? Well, I helped you across the road. I was being a good citizen. Well, yes, you did. But it took me half an hour to get over there in the first place. They didn't ask. They didn't communicate. They assumed that that person needed to cross the road. Well, in fact, actually, they'd already crossed the road. They were just gathering themselves up to move on. So don't assume, don't presume, don't think you know. They will make it wrong in a communication process. We should always ask and never tell, unless it's health and safety. If it's health and safety, that's a different process. But apart from that, we should always ask, never tell. And the problem is, we don't ask, we just assume. So build those relationships, build that communication, find out, understand, clarify, check it out. Reflect, and then you can go forwards. Without communication, human beings, we're stumped. Without some form of interactive communication, we are stumped. You need to communicate, but you need to communicate effectively. And that process of communication helps everything on the planet. If you're upset, for example, and you get on a bus or somewhere where you're interacting with a driver, taxi, bus, where there's somebody driving, and you're upset, you might say to that bus driver, well, give us £2 fare. Your voice is coming across as upset. Now the driver May go, water off a duck's back, hear that all the time, forget it, give you £2. But they might not. They might take it to heart, depending on how you've given that instruction. And the next person who gets on the bus might get some of that. It's kind of a ripple effect. It doesn't stop necessarily with the person you're upset with, or you think is upset with you. It kind of ripples out into other communications. So effective, quality communication, where everybody understands everybody else, is the way forward. Hopefully that tool will help you to make those connections. If you've liked this podcast, please share it, please like it, and hopefully somebody else that you connect to might get the benefit from it, even if you didn't know they would. I'm Ian Wallace. Take care.